lifetime, but I've been told you never come back from Copperhead Road.
Welcome on this Monday morning. Justin Blackwell in for Evan Bray today and tomorrow. Taking a couple of days off on New Year's Eve and the New Year's Day. Brent Lauk's in the chair of Friday, and then Evan will be back next Monday. Later tonight, it is Canada and Denmark at the World Junior Hockey Championships, a game you can hear right here on this radio station. Puck drop is at 7:30. And we've been asking all our guests today their favorite World Junior moments. Mike Tate joins me now, CEO for the Regina Chamber of Commerce. Mike, thanks so much for taking some time to talk to us this morning.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Favorite World Junior moment that you have you want to share with us?
So two come to mind. I was working for Molson in 2009 and got an opportunity to go to Ottawa. And I was at the semifinal game where Eberle scored the tying goal. And like just the atmosphere in that arena at the time was just so electric. We were, you know, the Russian iced the puck, and that created set the stage for Eberle to do his thing, and it's just such a famous Canadian goal. And then, of course, the next year we got to host in Saskatoon, which, you know, the green jerseys and just the whole atmosphere in Saskatchewan and the amount of pride that we shared, that it was just, we lost to the U.S. that year, but it's still such a cool moment.
Well, and then Eberle giving us moments during that game too, right? 5-3 late, and then he scored to make it 5-4, and then scored it late to tie it.
Just awesome. And yeah, those kids are just, they're just so determined to make, you know, to represent their country, and it's just the best part of sport.
Absolutely. Mike Tate joining us this morning, the CEO for the Regina Chamber of Commerce. Mike, well, we're looking back on the year that was in 2025, and let's start with the big talker. Obviously, the budget just passing down there, close to 11% property tax hike. Before the budget process even started, the proposed tax hike was around 15%, and you had said that could be crippling for businesses. So after this budget passed, what are your thoughts today?
Yeah, I mean, we're not, of course, 11%, it's just too high. You know, businesses are faced with such pressure right now, and everything is rising in terms of costs. And so, you know, as soon as you apply an 11% hike in terms of a property owner, that gets passed to the tenant who operates the business, that gets passed down to the consumer. And I mean, you can't continue to pass on those types of increases. It's affordability can't be solved by shifting costs onto the same taxpayer year after year. And again, they're just facing such rising costs in terms of utilities, labor, insurance, the cost of borrowing. And so really our focus wasn't just on the proposed increase, it was on the long-term sustainability efforts.
And what have you heard from your members about what happened with the budget process happened a couple of weeks ago?
Overall, they were happy with our focus around, you know, consistently pointed out that, like, the Regina tax base has to grow. We have to increase the amount of private investment and new investment, modernize our development charges. We have to explore new tools that are working in other municipalities that support the redevelopment of our growth. Again, you can't just continue to look at your existing tax base as the sole provider of increases, right? We have to look at where we can grow the tax base. You're seeing a shift in terms of RMs are growing and bedroom communities are growing, and we can't afford to continue to erode the tax base in Regina, or, you know, it'll become too unaffordable.
I'm speaking with Mike Tate this morning, the CEO of the Regina Chamber of Commerce. Now, you've been at this job for almost a full year now. How has that first year been so far?
It's been wonderful. I love the job. You know, advocacy was really active and deliberate for us this year. We've been very engaged with the city. Our relationship with the city it's collaborative, it's constructive. Members of our board and I meet regularly with the mayor, and I'm fully engaged with city administration throughout the year. It's been productive. You know, we developed a 3-year strategic plan. We saw continued membership growth, a strong turnout at our chamber events, and really, you know, increased the brand relevancy for the chamber. Businesses, you know, continue to give us positive feedback on our advocacy efforts. So very proud of the first year.
And at the beginning of this year, you spoke about wanting to revitalize Regina's downtown. How is that going?
I mean, Regina's not the only city that's faced with the challenges of downtown. I firmly believe that we have opportunities to look at other cities such as Edmonton in terms of the ICE district and looking at, you know, there's tools in place in terms of economic zones and incentives around private investment into downtown that I truly believe if we get the right incentives, there's ambition from private investment. There's enthusiasm to invest downtown with the right incentives. And if we can take downtown and, you know, create those appropriate incentives, I truly believe we can continue to build it back up. It's the same across every city. They're all faced with these challenges downtown. And Edmonton's a great example in that ICE district. You know, that where the Oilers play at Rogers Place, around that whole development with the ICE district, it's been $2.5 billion in additional investment around that anchor. So there are ways to do that, and that's our job as the chambers to bring those ideas to council.
And how important is that, you know, to kind of model that, that whole scenario in Edmonton for, you know, downtown Regina, downtown Saskatoon? How important is it for cities to kind of model that, you know, so businesses and the cities can succeed?
It's critically important. Everyone wants a downtown that they want to be proud of. They want to support. They want to see it safe. They want to see it vibrant. And they want to see investment. So again, there's such an opportunity around downtown. We've seen it thrive before, and there's no reason why it can't thrive again with the right investments.
Mike Tate, CEO of the Regina Chamber of Commerce, joining us this morning as we look back on the year that was in 2025 for the city of Regina. Some of the major highlights from this past year, Mike.
Our strategic plan, that was a major highlight. It sharpened our mandate and positions the chamber as the leading voice for business. Really just more clear priorities around advocacy, strategic engagement, again, the brand strength of the chamber and our organizational capacity. Because of the development of the strategic plan, we had to get the right people in place, and we made some key personnel changes that, allow us to go into 2026. With just a lot more focus around advocacy, policy development, more intentional in how we engage with decision makers, you know, and just a clear communication path to our members and the value that we offer.
And of course, we are closely following what's going on with trade and tariffs. So the Regina Chamber has been advocating for the trade and tariff issues. How's that been going so far?
I mean, anytime you're adding basically a tax on top of exports, it's always a challenge. And again, I referred to it earlier that every business is faced with rising costs across the board and really just the predictability or the uncertainty of it. It's such a challenge because it changes almost daily. So it's really hard for a business to invest in their business, invest in people, invest in growth when they don't really have a clear sense of what's coming down the pipe every day.
And of course, Regina, hosting the Grey Cup in 2027. What is that? I mean, I'm guessing the work's already started for businesses getting ready for that big game.
Well, for sure it has. And, you know, the fact that we hosted in 2022 and now we get 5 years later in 2027 we're going to host again, it just shows you that the CFL really loves our market. They realize our volunteer base is the strongest in the country. We do have the best stadium in the country. Everything's under one roof in terms of the team events and parties under, you know, at Real and the complex there. So it's just it's a really great place for everybody to congregate and come together as a country. The CFL loves this city in terms of, and our province, you know, in terms of our ability to host, and we're a world-class host. We put on the best shows. It's a profitable place to host an event, and I can't wait for that game.
Yeah, very profitable. I know businesses are definitely looking forward to the Grey Cup. I had Jason Abig here earlier, and we were talking about, you know, Saskatoon hosting the World Juniors in 91 and then a few years ago, 2009, and just the money that it brings in for the cities and the province is something to behold.
It's huge. I mean, the economic spinoff, you know, around hospitality and the amount of money that we're putting back into into our entire ecosystem and putting money into servers' pockets and that they're spending. And I mean, it's millions and millions of dollars of impact. And plus, you know, the memories and bringing our country together and, you know, being on a united front, we need more of that.
Speaking with Mike Tate, the CEO of the Regina Chamber of Commerce this morning, as we look back on the year that was and the year ahead for the city of Regina. Before I let you go, Mike, what's the one thing that we should be looking forward to in 2026 when it comes to the city of Regina?
You know, I really believe our focus around solutions that we're providing council, our job is to bring them opportunities around increasing our tax base. We presented seven opportunities around exactly that during our budget delegations. And, you know, it's not about going and attacking them on the cost increase. It's about, okay, we've gotten here for a variety of reasons. What can we now do to increase that revenue and make sure that if there's services the city's providing, is that the best approach, or does that look like a potential private service and take that off the tax base? Really, if you've got a competitive opportunity, you know, say around asphalt as one example, let's make sure we're giving council the right information and tools to make those appropriate decisions and be the most competitive we can possibly be, so we don't see 11% increases going forward.
Mike, thanks so much for taking some time to talk to us this morning. All the best in 2026, and we'll chat again soon.
Happy New Year. Go Canada.
Absolutely. Mike Tate, the CEO of the Regina Chamber of Commerce, joining me as we look back on the year that was in 2025 when it comes to the business side in Regina. Earlier at Jason Abig talking about Saskatoon. If you want to get in on the conversation, give me a text, 1-877-332-8255. Do you think the chambers are doing their part in supporting local businesses? Give me a text. Join in on the conversation. I'm Justin Blackwell, in for Evan Bray here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome on this Monday morning. Justin Blackwell, in for Evan Bray. The next couple of days, Mike Tate just joined me. From the Regina Chamber of Commerce, the CEO there, almost now fully a year into the job for Mike. We were talking about the year that was when it comes to the business side in Regina. Jason Abig, the CEO for the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce, joining me this morning, as well as we look back on the year that was, and a lot of discussion, of course, with both the budgets now tabled, a nearly 11% increase in Regina. Saskatoon not seeing that big of a jump, but one of the biggest jumps that city has seen in years, just over 6%, I believe, is what Saskatoon is going to be seeing next year. A lot of concern from both Mike and Jason talking about, you know, we need to find some ways not to just, you know, well, let's just hike up those property taxes and just make people pay more for the things that we need. Both of those gentlemen saying that's not the way to move forward, and we can't be doing those big of hikes coming up in the years to come. So an interesting conversation about that. How do you feel about the property tax hikes in Saskatoon and Regina, and just in general on how the chambers are supporting local businesses? You can give me a text to 1-877-332-8255. Earlier in the show, we had Brian Lilly from the Toronto Sun on, political columnist who you've heard on this program a number of times throughout 2025. And of course, one of the big stories, if not the biggest story from 2025 in the world of politics, Mark Carney becoming the prime minister. Not a lot of people, I would say, predicted Prime Minister Carney to beat Tory leader Pierre Poilievre. Poilievre, before that election, if you remember, had a huge, huge advantage in the polls. And then something went wrong. And Mark Carney was voted in, and Poilievre actually lost his seat, got it back in Alberta, but a lot of conversation around his leadership with the Tories. Now, they are polling the best they have since the election now, and most polls neck and neck with the Liberals. Bonnie from Wadena texts in saying, if we want to see our economy flourish, we need to get Poilievre and his government elected. Carney she says, is just window dressing. Polyev would be prime minister today if he would have had support from Doug Ford, who never endorsed to Polyev in the last election. She says, it's up to us Canadians to see through the smoke and mirrors. We need to look no further than our ever-increasing grocery bills to see we can't afford this corrupt Liberal government. What do you think about that text? About anything in the world of politics in Canada and Saskatchewan? 1-877-332-8255. Coming up after the break, I'm looking forward to this conversation. We're going to be speaking with Jacqueline Hoffman as we look at one of the topics that has defined not just our country this year, but our province when it comes to addictions, homelessness, and complex needs. And so many groups, several of whom we've spoken with on the show, are working tirelessly to help people in Saskatchewan every day. And Jacqueline is, she plays a key role in the Prairie Sky Recovery Center, which has become a trusted resource in the province, offering residential treatment, counseling, long-term recovery support for people working to rebuild their lives. So we're going to be speaking with Jacqueline on that. What 2025 has been like for Prairie Sky and the addictions problem in this province and how we can best address it when it comes to 2026. And I've been asking all of my guests today their favorite World Junior Hockey Championship moments. This moment is a favorite among many of the guests.
Tavares backhand towards the goal, loose puck, and he scores! Tie game! Can you believe it?
Jordan Eberle, 2009 semifinal against Russia. Great call there by TSN's Gord Miller. Eberle scoring with, what was it, 2-3 seconds left to send that game against Russia into overtime. Canada would win in a shootout and then move on to that gold medal game, easily beating Sweden 5-1. And if you remember that the following year, when the tournament was held in Saskatoon and Regina, Canada and the U.S. in that gold medal final, Canada down 5-3, Jordan Eberle would score with, oh, what was it, 3 minutes to go, roughly 3 minutes to go, making it 5-4. And then again with just over a minute to go, I believe, to send the game into overtime. And I was in SaskTel Center for that game. I have never heard it as loud as it was. Not just when he scored to make it 5-4, but the roof nearly blew off SaskTel Center. It was so loud when he tied at 5-5. A lot of optimism heading into overtime. And then John Carlson with the winner for the U.S., giving them the gold medal. But a fantastic tournament. Share me your favorite World Junior moments. 1-877-332-8255. I'm Justin Blackwell. This is The Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome on this Monday morning. Justin Blackwell in for Evan Bray the next couple of days. Brent Laux in the chair Friday, and then Evan will be back next Monday as he welcomes in the new year. And I know Evan was under the weather for a bit there as he was wrapping up his last few shows, and then I think it really hit him over the Christmas break. He was down and out for a few days. Had a bug, and then he got that nagging cough. We've all had it. I have it a bit right now where it just lingers and lingers. Keeps you up at night, too. So he is feeling better, and he will be recharged and refreshed for next Monday. And as I mentioned earlier today, they asked me to fill in for a couple of days about a month ago. And I told them, I'm like, guys, you're really digging deep into the bullpen here, thinking game three of the World Series, 18 innings. Manager John Schneider looks down the bench. Who we got left? Oh, Brendan Little. I guess we'll throw him in. So that's what they did here. But it's been a fun time so far. If you want to join in on the conversation, 1-877-332-8255. Paul texts in. Great job filling in for Evan Bray today. I hope he's feeling better from his cold/flu. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate the feedback. And yes, Evan, as I mentioned, we'll be back on Monday fully recharged. 1-877-332-8255 as we work to get our next guest on the line, who I believe was down sick as well. It's hitting hard this holiday season, isn't it? Feels like everybody you talk to has been sick with something, whether it be a common head cold or the flu. It is it's hitting a lot of people hard. I myself got a little bit sick over the holidays as well. Started Christmas Eve. Did the morning show here in Saskatoon. I actually felt pretty good. It was an early morning, but you know what? Felt pretty good. Christmas Eve. Kids are ready for the big day. And then I got home. Didn't feel so good. And then usually every Christmas Eve, we go to a friend's place who hosts kind of a come and go. Some drinks and appies. And we got there. Quite a few people when we got there. So it was hot. I don't think I even had a sip of my drink. And I looked at my wife. We were there for maybe 10 minutes. We have to go. And we have to go now. The kids were not impressed, but told the kids, you don't want to see what's going to happen to Dad in the next few minutes. So we got to go now. And so dropped myself off at home. The family dropped me off. And then they went to the in-laws for Christmas Eve, my in-laws for Christmas Eve. And I stayed on the couch, watched a little TV, had some sleep. Christmas Day felt a little bit better, was functionable. Not 100%, but I was functioning, toughed it out. And then we're at the farm in Kindersley for a couple of days, started to feel a bit better now, close to 100%. So if you are one of the few, or a lot, actually, it seems, that are under the weather, here's to feeling good just in time for New Year's Eve. Earlier in the show, we spoke with Sean Haney. As we look back on the year that was when it came to agriculture in this province, 2025 and the year ahead, and a lot to focus on when it comes, of course, to those tariffs involving China, the canola tariffs there, and, of course, what's happening with the United States. And interesting to see how that will play out in the year to come. 1-877-332-8255. And we were talking World Juniors as well. A lot to talk about when it comes to that tournament. Of course, you can hear all the Canada games here on this radio station. They take on Denmark tonight, which should be a pat the stats night for the Canadians. But we'll see. Been a lot of close games. Which is good for the tournament, right? We used to see those 16-2, 13-2 games all the time. But we're not seeing those quite as often anymore. Case in point, Canada against Latvia the other night, needing overtime. A nail-biting finish given what happened to Canada at last year's tournament against Latvia when they lost in a shootout. First time Latvia ever beat Canada. And then Canada needed overtime to get 2 points in that one. Not the full 3 points, but a win is a win, especially when it comes to how Canada has fared in that tournament the last couple of years, losing out in the quarterfinals both years. 1-877-332-8255. If there's anything you want to talk about, World Juniors, politics, of course, always a big talker in the Evan Bray Show. We had Brian Lilly on from the Toronto Sun earlier talking about the year that was. Kelly and Tisdale texts in. I don't think Poiliev ever wanted to win, which is too bad because everything he argues in the House of Commons is 100% true. But Kelly agrees with Conspiracy Kevin. Pierre is the perfect guy to act like he wants to lead and change things, but he's just following a role as opposition leader. He doesn't want to win. And Canadians, in my opinion, are crazy to vote for anything to do with the liberals. 1-877-332-8255. And I remember sitting in with Evan a few shows ago, and one caller texted in, or called in actually, talking about Poiliev and being the Tory leader, whether he was the right man to be the leader for the Tories. And they said, and I believe this person was a conservative or is a conservative, and just talked about just the way he carries himself. And he didn't like the way Pierre Poiliev carries himself, you know, resorting to, you know, cheesy liners to try to get his point across. You know, the Donald Trump type lines where, you know, you might think they're crafty, but maybe they don't come across as, well, original or even what people want to hear nowadays. And he thinks, you know, just his tone, the way he carries himself, just a guy that's not a lot of people can get behind or really like, which is maybe what that caller wants to see. 1-877-332-8255. Again, filling in for Evan Bray today and tomorrow. And then a couple of days off for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And then Brent Laux in Friday. And then Evan back in the chair to welcome in 2026. And as I mentioned, you know, digging deep into the bullpen for this one, bringing me to host. But one texter in, well, you're better than some people that fill in as so. I don't know. I think the people that fill in are pretty good, but appreciate the confidence. And Brent Lux, when he fills in, absolutely phenomenal. So everyone who fills in does a great job, but appreciate the texts that come in. Again, Canada and the World Juniors tonight, Denmark, 7:30, which you can hear right here on this radio station. And we were talking about favorite moments from years past. And who can forget, not that long ago, 2022, the gold medal final, Canada and Finland. That game went to overtime, and Finland was just inches away from winning the gold medal. Who can forget that save? Not by the goalie, but do you remember Mason McTavish, the captain, as that puck was floating in the air, seemingly ready to go over the line, when all of a sudden McTavish's stick swatted it down right on that goal line. And I mean right on that goal line. Then he took a couple swipes, didn't quite get it the first couple of times, just pulling it across the line, grazing the post, pulling it out of the net to save the gold medal for Canada. And then moments later, Kent Johnson with the win.
Now stake on it. 2-1 Robert Johnson. In comes stake on it. Pulls it back away. Can't find it. Johnson in the road. Oh, save him out. Scores. Kent Johnson. A golden goal in Canada.
Nothing better than scoring a golden goal in your own country. That building erupted. Can't remember where that tournament was held, but I just remember the crowd was loud, as you heard in that clip. Well, the bench pouring out, players celebrating another gold medal for Canada. Hopefully they can do that again at this tournament. It's been a couple of tournaments now where they've been knocked out in the quarterfinals from the Czech Republic both times. So we'll see. To start off the show, we had the play-by-play voice of Canada for this tournament, which you hear on this radio station, TSN's Matt Cullen. He's doing a double duty, working the Ottawa Senators games and then Canada's game. So he's been back and forth. He's going to be doing the Sens game tonight against Columbus. But we were talking about just the amount of teams that have, you know, closed the gap, so to say, when it comes to Canada, right? Finland and Sweden are always there. Sweden, definitely. Finland has gotten a lot better over the years. Czechia now. The U.S., of course, defending champs. And Switzerland playing better. Latvia, all those teams. So it's going to be a fun ride to see if Canada can get back to one of those medal games, preferably the gold medal. I'm Justin Blackwell. We're going to take a short break. Come back here on the Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back on this Monday morning. Justin Blackwell in for Evan Bray. The next couple of days, we were hoping to get Jacqueline Hoffman on today from Prairie Sky Recovery, talking about one of the topics that has defined our province this year, really the country as a whole: addictions, homelessness, and complex needs. Unfortunately, Jacqueline is sick and not able to join us today. A lot of people out being sick over the holidays, so we wish Jacqueline a speedy recovery and hopefully get her on the show very soon. 1-877-332-8255 is the number to text if you want to get in on the conversation. I've been asking all my guests about their favorite World Junior moment as the hockey championship is well underway. Canada 2-0. There's a but in all that for a lot of people that have been texting in. Yeah, 2-0, but maybe want to see a bit more. Although that opening game, Boxy Day against Czechia, was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed it. 7-5, back and forth. Yeah, they gave up 5 goals, but they scored 7. Scoring was a bit of a problem for the team last year as they were bounced by Czechia in the quarters, bounced by Czechia the last 2 times in the quarters. So a little bit of redemption in that opening game, and then a bit of a nail biter against the Latvia, 2-1 in overtime. Latvia scoring late to send that game to OT. And then Canada winning it on a power play. They didn't get the full 3 points, as you do in these tournaments, for a regulation win, but 2 points nonetheless. Is still in that running for top spot in their pool, taking on Denmark tonight. Pete from Craven texts in, talking World Juniors. Did you happen to see the end of that Denmark-Czech game the other night? The award ceremony at the end of the game looked like a scene out of the movie Slapshot. Bruises, black eyes, broken noses. Maybe something like 4 major penalties. I didn't see that game, so I'm not too sure. But Pete says, just absolutely vicious shots to the head. Quite a mess. And I know there was some blood drawn in that Canada-Latvia game. The defenseman, can't remember who it was, swinging their stick and hitting the Latvian player right in the nose. And initially, when we saw the replay and the way the player went down, looked like he had been shot by a sniper, grabbing his face as he slid across the ice into the boards. And of course, there's me. Oh, come on. And you know, these kids, they're still kids. I got to remember, they're still kids. And sometimes they play things up. But when I saw that kid go down, I was like, oh, come on. Really? Can't be that bad. And then when I saw the aftermath, the blood coming from the bridge of his nose and the bump. And if you've ever been hit in the nose, yeah, that hurts. So I kind of, even my 11-year-old, well, Dad, look at his face. He's bleeding. He's hurt. I'm okay. Yeah. And I've taken a stick to the nose. It does hurt. It hurts so bad. So I took my words back, and my 11-year-old is just looking at me like, come on, Dad. What if that was me? 1-877-332-8255, the number to text if you want to get in on the conversation. Earlier, we also talked some business. We had the CEO of the Regina Chamber, Mike Tate, and the CEO of the Greater Saskatoon Chamber, Jason Abig, talking about the year that was in business when it comes to the cities. And of course, big topics for both cities. The property tax increases at Saskatoon, one of the highest increases that city has seen in years, over 6%, pales in comparison to the nearly 11% property tax hike in Regina. And Paul texts in, a massive disappointment for Regina residents already struggling with the rising cost of living. This record-breaking hike, the largest in our city's recent history, feels like an unfair burden to place on taxpayers. We deserve a more sustainable approach that respects the financial reality of the people who live here. 1-877-332-8255. I'm Justin Blackwell in for Evan Bray here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.